When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Get down! Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man, I love you on The Score, man. So awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already two touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Jarrett Payton. He joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Jarrett, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing, man? I'm on the West Coast, but...
What are you doing out there?
Wow, look at you.
Got up early for you guys. So, man, pretty cool. I'm finishing off Legends of the Big Game, which I've done for the past, I think this is year six or five, I'm not really sure, but where I go around, talk to the guys that played in the NFL, their stories, but also what they're doing now. So talk about their Super Bowl stories and then kind of what they got going on now. So I've done Drew Brees earlier this year in New Orleans. And then I came back out here a couple of weeks ago, sat down with Steve Young and talked about his passion for flag football and his daughters. And this one is a unbelievable treat. It just kind of fell into my lap and I'm super excited about it. But I get the chance to sit down today with Fred Biletnikoff, 81 years old, and
wow.
talk about his Super Bowl experience. And then also talk about what's driving him now, his passion. And this will all air Super Bowl week in Chicago, but all around the country, Super Bowl week. So I'm super excited about it.
Wow, that's a great get. Fred Biletnikoff.
I know, man.
You might want to wipe your hands. He might have stickum on his hands after you shake hands with him.
Hey, I was just thinking when I was listening to you guys coming back from break, talking about Flack and Athens. Do you think that Matt Eberflus is wearing those sweaters while he's up there on the podium?
Well, he might want to do that next week to distract everybody from what he's saying, because he needs to look good if he can't sound good.
It's a tough one right now, you guys. I was leaving yesterday to get on the plane and just listening to, you know, just all of the audio. And I tweeted out that you can't coach scared. And that's what it seems like right now. And that's tough. When you feel the heat coming a little bit and things aren't going your way, you kind of pull back. And to me, this is the opportunity, the mindset where you have to be like, you know, what do I got to lose? Let's go out here and figure it out. And we saw it documented in other games where if you take the opportunity, you never know. If you run another play, you never know what's going to happen. That's the game of football. Like anytime that you touch the football, you know, there could be, you could fumble the ball or a bad snap or whatever it is. There's always something that can happen. But having faith in your guys and saying, listen, I'm going to roll with you. Let's see what we can do, man. A run could turn into a touchdown. So and we saw that on Sunday night. So it just, I think it's frustrating for a lot of Bears fans and trying to figure out how did we get to this point.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. This idea that, oh my gosh, you know, there could be a fumble. Oh, we could jump off sides. We'd have five more yards. Oh, what if there's a holding penalty? Like, that's not the way to look at it. You know, you wanna push your advantage. You wanna get the ball as close as humanly possible. It's 30-something seconds left. It's second down. You could probably run two more plays if you were so inclined. I'm not suggesting you do that, but there was no need to just let the clock tick down and then take the whatever. I think they might have been so surprised that they got out of third and 19 or 18, whatever it was, and managed to get to that point where they could make a field goal. Maybe they just got carried away. I but you're so right. You just can't coach scared. It's happened twice now, and you know, you, and again, it's always the play before the game deciding play. It's deciding to let them get 13 yards because you're not going to defend, so they then set up a Hail Mary. It's deciding to kill the clock so you can just get to the field goal instead of trying to get a few more yards. It's just I feel like the poor coach has lost the plot as a result of it.
Well, I was listening to you guys, and I heard David just say something. And I heard Dave say this, that no one's like want someone to lose their job. That's not the case. All we do is go by the numbers. You look at the numbers. If you want to be analytical, and especially in this day and age with all the sports, it comes down to like understanding and knowing a little bit about where your kicker is really good at and what the numbers are. And I know there's numbers being thrown on all around all the time, but in the mindset of Matt Eberflus, it was like, yo, let's just kick this thing and get out of here. Like, let's just get out of here. And looking at what his quarterback did leading up to that moment, that's the part that gets me, because that was a defining moment for Caleb Williams, you know, and in this rivalry in the NFL as a rookie to be able to, you didn't get it in Washington, right? Where because of the Hail Mary, but this was your opportunity against your arch rivals to be able to lead your team down, make a couple big plays, and then walk off as the hero, which I think brings a lot of confidence. And for me, which I'm looking at as the big picture here. I mean, a lot of other people are in the structure of the organization might not be here, but Caleb's going to be here for a while. You know what I'm saying? When you look at it, when you look at who is a fixture, he's going to be here for a while. And so I want to make sure that he's moving down the right path, and pass off to Thomas Brown for the game that he called on Sunday of really kind of making Caleb look a little bit more comfortable and catering to his needs and what he does well. And I think I don't want to say collaboration, but I think just the mindset of both guys together is something that hopefully can move forward and be something that's special for the season ends. I mean, that's all you can hope for, that he's on that trajectory going up on the end of the season.
Just curious, Jared, when you look at this season and how it has gone and what might lie ahead, where do you, in terms of responsibility, if you want to call it blame, but how do you separate or make a distinction between Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles?
Oh, man, Dave, that's a good question. I mean, I think I want to know. This is tough. I was thinking about this last night. 14-30 is Bears head coach. Your record speaks for yourself. There's something to say right now that Matt Eberflus is trying to defend himself and feeling like he's on the hot seat. I think it's separate. I think my biggest question is as of right now is, I shouldn't even say question. What I want right now, and I think what Bears fans have been signaling to me as I walk around the city and social media, is they want to hear from Ryan Poles at this moment. 4-game losing streak. Haven't heard from him. He's kind of been, not nowhere to be found. So, I mean, to me, it would feel I'd feel a little bit more comfortable hearing what his thoughts are, because this is the team that he helped build. I want to know where his mindset is. And I know maybe the question of, like, what are you going to do with your head coach by the end of the season might come up, but there's ways to answer those questions. And even if you wanted to be technical, just we're not talking about that right now. We'll figure that out at the end of the season. But just to know what's going on with his team at this moment, we haven't heard from him. And that's question marks surrounding my head. Is he just leaving Eberflus up there to kind of fend off for himself, or is at the end of the season that it's going to be a foregone conclusion that he's gone, or is the the thing about if he wins a couple of games down the stretch here, is Matt Eberflus still here? There's a lot of questions that surround me, but I think one of the biggest things is trying to not just separate them, but as of right now, I just want to hear what Ryan Poles has to say about what's going on at this moment. And we haven't. The trade deadline came. We didn't hear from him then. I just think he owes that to the Bears fans out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I look at where they're at and I wonder, was firing Shane Waldron a good move? Because they did get better. You did see a simplification of some of the things they were trying to do. You did see getting the ball out quicker, getting Caleb Williams. He played a very good game. He played a very good game in the fourth quarter that last series. You know, he's robbed, because of the blocked field goal, he's robbed of another kind of game-winning performance late in the game, and we've seen that happen twice now in four games, Jared. And I'm just curious, did you feel like the change of coordinator worked, and will it work against Brian Flores? You know, we're still kind of figuring out who the Vikings are, but they've been winning now with defense, where earlier in the year they were scoring a lot.
Yeah, I definitely like the setup of just seeing, you know, what Thomas Brown did. I think it comes in, there's something to say about getting into plays faster, the communication that's there between the OC and your quarterback. And I can see that with Caleb Williams, he felt a little bit more at ease and comfortable. It's going to be difficult, I think, any time that you play on a Sunday against any team. But the one thing I think going for Thomas Brown right now is that there's not a lot of tape on him of what he does. And so maybe you can find a way to, you know, maybe cook up some plays here and there that haven't been seen. But we always know Flores is known for his defense. That's what I think of first when I think about this Minnesota team, and they are trying to figure out who they are. Offensively, 19 points is good, because we didn't see a scoring drive for a long time from the Bears. But the hardest part is, can you score? I mean, 19 points is good, but it's not enough. You got to be able to score more points. And as of right now, I haven't seen that from this Bears offense yet. And so that's why it's hard for me to say that they can go out and beat anybody down the stretch, when offensively we haven't seen enough of them. It was a good start for, you know, with Thomas Brown taking over. I thought the change needed to be made. I didn't think that the hire was sufficient from the beginning, just from the conversations that I had from people. But what do I know? I mean, I'm just a guy here. But I was just talking to people surrounding him. I thought that it wasn't a great fit for Caleb. And hopefully now, just moving forward, that Thomas Brown can be that guy that can help him kind of progress, not regress like we were hearing a couple of weeks ago, but progress as he heads off to the back end of this schedule.
Speaking of regression, this defense that was supposedly going to be elite and has had its moments, and certainly they've suffered some injuries, but all teams deal with attrition. What do you think is the biggest concern or problem with the Bears defense?
And the both sides of the ball, David, have kind of neglected of really making sure that is the focal point, and that's what needs to be if this team is going to have championship aspirations down the line in the future, is building out the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. That's the tough part. When you lose a guy like Billings, that's a huge thing, where, you know, that's your guy that's eating up two guys and causing havoc and making sure that other guys and linebackers can get off. And there needs to be a better pass rush. On the flip side, on the offensive side, the revolving door of the injuries that have happened on that offensive line and moving guys around, that you have to be able to, and I say this on this air all the time, dominate on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. It's the only way. It's the only way you can win. And guess what? Bears fans are going to see a lot of that when you play the Lions, because that's what they do. They get off the ball, and sometimes they say, listen, we don't have to throw the ball. All we need to do is just dominate your guy on the other side, and our offensive line is going to do that. We're going to get pushed, and we're going to run the football. And, you know, the years that I go to the Super Bowl, I've been going since 99. It's rare that you see, you know, bad, even on the, on, I'm flipping to the offense now, offensive line, where you see a bad offensive line and a quarterback win. And, you know, those, I look back at those years, what Joe Burrow and the Rams, his offensive line that year, horrible, but he didn't win. He got there, but didn't win. The year that the COVID year with Patrick Mahomes against the Bucks, he was running for his life. He was there, but he didn't win. And you could be as good as you want as a quarterback, but if your offensive line and you can't dominate like those defensive lines were dominating, you can't win. So I think moving forward, the focus is on the trenches and building it out. The way that it was built, it was built backwards. It's been built backwards, and you can't do that. So I think moving forward, Ryan Poles' focus has to be on making sure that those both sides of the football and the line of scrimmage are sufficient.
So it's interesting, you've been going to the Super Bowl since 99. It was in 1999, the Bears won on a blocked field goal in Green Bay.
Right.
And that was Brian Robinson blocks the punt and then says it's that Walter was pushing him from back. It was just like a beautiful moment, Jared. And I thought about that as I watched the Bears lose the game. And it's hard to believe you just referenced 25 years.
I know. I'm telling you, I was sitting there wondering too. I had a video, you guys, ready to go. Like, I had that reaction video, and I was like filming myself, and my mom was in the background, and she was just like, "Oh, they're gonna win! Are they gonna win?" I'm like, "Yeah, they're about to get this win." And next, I see the block, and I looked, and I'm so glad that my couch was right there by me, because I threw my phone down, and I can't break another screen on my iPhone because my wife will kill me. So I didn't even post the video because I was so upset. I was like, are you kidding me? We're to this point. Like, we were right there, but this is who we've been.
Right.
This is who we've been for a long time. And 11 straight losses to that team from Wisconsin. Like, we can't do that. We can't do that. What we all talk – that first, when Poles was hired, what did he say, man? We are going to take the North, and we're never going to give
it's
it back.
It's a good podcast.
We're not there at all. We're not close to being there, but we all want to be there. We all want to be there. So we got to make moves. We got to make smart moves, whatever it is, smart moves moving forward to get to that point. Because as of right now, looking at the Lions and where they are, they don't look like they're giving it up anytime soon. And lo and behold, they might be the team that I'm seeing from the NFC that's going to be in New Orleans come Super Bowl week.
I agree.
Great stuff, Jared. Thank you, buddy. Great
safe,
catching
safe
up.
Safe travels. Have a good, with, yeah, a good time with the
thank you guys. Goff.
Yeah. The Scarecrow, isn't that his nickname?
I don't know.
Oh, I think
find
so.
Find out. Good stuff, Jared. All right, stay tuned all week to win concert tickets right here on The Score. We have a pair for you to see Tyler Childers at Alpine Music Theater next summer, July 26th. Also, a pair to see B96 B-Bash at the Salt Shed on December 12th. Right now, you can be the sixth caller to The Score's contest line, 312-540-0670, to win a pair of tickets to see the B96 B-Bash at the Salt Shed. That's 312-540-0670.
I've been to that party several times with the kids growing up. Really fun.
It's lit.
Yeah, totally lit. I haven't been to the Salt Shed yet. Have you
As
spent
they
a lot
say.
Of time there?
Salt Shed? It's beautiful.
Yeah, I haven't been there
it's
yet.
It's cool.
I got to get out there. Hey, also download the Odyssey app. You want to search for 670 The Score. You can tap follow. You're going to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough Bears coverage, check out the aforementioned Take the North podcast now with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of Sunday's game against the Vikings. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to talk Cubs when we come back. There's something that developed recently that we have to discuss.
Ooh, is it have something to do with Shota? He didn't win the
go,
Rookie
Cubs,
of the Year.
Go, Cubs, go.
It's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Pay my guy, Pay Juan Soto.
Step to the plate there with the game on the line in the 10th.
He's going
to
do it. That's the only thing going through my mind. He's going to do it.
What left you so confident?
Because it's Juan Soto. Pay my guy, Pay Juan Soto.
I'd ask you how much, but we'll leave that for another day.
$700 million.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Wow.
Juan Soto.
It's coming out. Free agency. He's already out visiting teams.
Yeah.
Blue Jays, Red Sox have productive meetings.
Mets.
Mets are next. They're going to get in the way of what the Yankees want. Yankees are going to be there. Figure the Dodgers at some point will get involved. The Giants. But no surprise here. Megan Montemurro, ChicagoTribune.com. This morning, post a story, and I don't think I've seen this anywhere else definitively, but maybe it's other people have. But I just it's worth discussing. Quote: Despite their big market status and obvious need, the Cubs won't be pursuing Soto. Sources told the Tribune. Soto was expected to meet with the Yankees, Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Mets. ESPN reported last week. So
they don't need that guy.
Sources told the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, that the Cubs will not be pursuing Juan Soto, in case you wondered, as Soto becomes or remains the biggest free agent available, and when he signs or makes a decision, it will affect everything else and everyone else in the market.
He's 26 now.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's getting over the hill.
Yeah, well,
what?
He's not over
he's
the
only,
hill.
He's only got about 7 or 8 years.
In 26, he's already been one of the big reasons why two teams have gotten to the World Series, and one team won it when he was in Washington. He is clearly one of the – he's not the – I mean, Ohtani is who he is. There is Judge. And Juan Soto, though, you could justify spending the money he's going to get, and whatever team lands him and signs him will be able to do that. It won't be the Cubs.
And Cubs fans are not happy.
Well,
well,
are the Cubs fans not happy, Dustino? You are our resident Cubs fan.
Again, I think I'll go back and I'll stay true to this. I want the Cubs to spend money, but I don't like the idea of investing in one individual player over 13 years. I only got to see the story quickly. David, you probably have access. Mully, maybe you do as well. The source looks to be Tom Ricketts. And it looks like that Tom Ricketts spoke.
Well, he would know.
A few weeks ago at a luncheon, right?
Yes. I was scheduled to
and
go.
You were
to that
scheduled
lunch,
to go. And it looks like that. Again, in my quick, I got a 10 second view of it and it cut off. But it looks like that's where these quotes came from. The quote is from Tom Ricketts, and there's something in there about a 13-year investment for one individual player, something that, again, Jed is not on board with, according to Tom.
I get it. I mean,
I'm just saying. I
know, and that's probably
but that's
true.
But that's who the source is.
I don't want to pretend that I'm outraged about this development. It's not a surprise, so I don't think that that's appropriate.
He's
and also,
looking for the most money.
I also understand, yeah, he's going to $1 more than the highest bidder is going to get Juan Soto's services, and I get that and respect it. The fact that the Cubs aren't even in the conversation might be quibbling. I wish they would have looked into it. And maybe they already know, maybe they already have, and this is why they're not going to. It's hard for me to have too much outrage over a team that did spend $229 million or $49 million on their payroll last year, and they're seventh in baseball. So the Cubs, $229.5. at the same time, you should be in the mix for the best, one of the top three players in baseball. I just think you should be. You should inquire. Maybe there's a connection. Maybe there's an interest. Maybe there's a chemistry. Maybe there's something. But if you're not willing to go as high as you know you're going to have to go, maybe it's, you don't want to waste your time. So it's a, I have mixed feelings about it. I really do. It's not like a very obviously, oh, I get it. Or it's not a very obviously like, well, boy, that's awful.
You know, it's what's shocking about this is that he is a fairly well-traveled player, given how good he is.
Could be his fourth team.
Is that extraordinary?
It is. I would not have traded him. But Mike Rizzo did.
Yes.
Understandably, because they, you know, the situation at the time with that franchise and ownership. And then the Padres did. The Padres did.
They have spent a lot of money on a lot of players.
Not on him, no. which is strange. And now the Yankees
are going to let him go. Or well, I mean, I don't know
yet.
If they are.
They haven't yet.
But
I think they're going to be loaded to watch him walk. I don't think
what
so.
What is your guy, Michael Kay, said something to the effect of he's going to take the extra dollar wherever he gets it.
Yes.
Even if it's the White Sox.
Even if it's the White Sox.
Well, and now that is pretty amusing.
It's an invitation.
But the White Sox, they don't need to have a story saying they're not interested in Juan Soto.
Well, they got Slater.
Well, they did sign Austin Slater. Don't make fun of Slater.
They got Slater.
I saw
who needs Soto? You got
I
Slater.
I saw that the new hitting guy.
Ryan Fuller
talked to Chuck on the White Sox podcast and said the guy gets on base.
Okay. He gets
Austin
on base.
Slater.
Yeah, all right, fine. Ryan Fuller's coming here from Baltimore. I like his experience. He brings that to the White Sox, but not to digress. We'll get back to that in a second.
They will soon be Baltimore.
No, that's the idea. I'll take that.
I get it.
So how do you feel? Are we letting the Cubs off the hook by shrugging at the news that they're not going to be involved with Juan Soto?
I did not expect them to be involved in Juan Soto. I think that I thought they would make a bigger run at last year.
I was more disappointed in the Ohtani news.
At Ohtani
because they did inquire.
They did. They were involved in it, but never got beyond. And then you look at the way the Dodgers, you know, scheduled that deal, the way they kind of manipulated the market.
They deferred the money.
The way they won the World Series.
They won it all.
So I think it proved they got the best.
They've got the best TV deal in baseball.
I understand.
And they're benefiting from that.
Yes, I get it.
And they will for years to come. Now they got Ohtani. No.
They got the last TV deal in baseball.
Yeah,
right?
Basically.
Isn't that what it?
Yeah, I think that's
we're
probably
learning.
True.
Yeah.
So I'm not as bothered, but I do. I think two things can be true. You can understand and accept the fact the Cubs won't be in the Soto sweepstakes, but that doesn't mean that you cannot. You're not going to back off the pressure that you need to apply to Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins, maybe Tom Ricketts too. This has got to be a very creative, productive offseason. The Cubs can't stand pat, even though they have, you can make the argument, well, they got a pretty solid team and they got the
young
guys
players.
With no trade clauses. You've got prospects, you've got capital. You need to change your makeup. You need a home run hitter. You need a star as much as you can get a star, as close as you can get to a star. Maybe it won't be Juan Soto, but that doesn't mean you have to give up trying to get somebody who fits the category of star. It means you're going to have to give up something, probably. I don't know what you give up. Matt Shaw had a tremendous run on Team USA. He's ready to go somewhere. Is he bait for a trade? Nico Horner, what's going to be with him? Can you trade an injured player? He's coming off of surgery.
It's a good question.
Got to be in play. What's Michael Bush's future? He's a guy, good guy, good hitter.
Had a good year.
He's in the very good category.
He's not playing second base.
He's not a star. So
Matt Shaw will probably play second base unless he plays third base.
Then you just trade it for Paredes. I don't know that you trade.
Yeah, I don't know that you keep him.
I don't know that you trade for a guy and then you dismiss him. I don't know how that works.
Well, he didn't hit the homers you were hoping for.
No, he did not. He's not going to. I don't know what an offseason does with him. I don't want to trade him either, though. So I don't know what I want
to do. Would you sign a Japanese pitcher?
Yes, I would try to do that.
Because it worked. Did you see that everyone's favorite Cub, Shota Imanaga, finished fourth in the Rookie of the Year voting?
A lot of good rookies. A lot of good rookies in the National
Paul
League.
Paul Skeens, the winner.
Yep, Paul Skeens.
Won it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. National League Rookie of the Year. No surprise there. He started the All-Star game. Is anybody really surprised? That was a formality.
And then the kid from the Padres, right? He finished second.
Jackson Merrill.
I guess their names were on they only list three lines of voting, and they were on the first two lines on everyone's ballot.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's
pretty wild. And then Shota, and then the kid from the Brewers, and then Shota. So he was a write-in guy, and he finished fourth. That's pretty good.
That was a great move last offseason. There's no doubt about it. The Cubs did well in getting Shota Imanaga. And so he was not the Rookie of the Year. Paul Skeens was, and Luis Gil was for the American League and the Yankees. You get all that stuff.
Yep. Yep.
But the Cubs have to creatively find a way to make themselves better. And I don't know, now that you're not going to go after Juan Soto, what that involves. But it's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy to move. You bring back Cody Bellinger.
Right.
Cody Bellinger opts back in. Does he play in Chicago? Is he trade bait or is he going to be somebody?
Does he play right field? Do you move?
He definitely plays right field.
Okay.
He's a Gold Glover.
I'm aware of that. But he's also played first base and he's DH. Do you move your right fielder to DH?
Yes.
Or do you trade him?
The right fielder is a DH. Okay. We have learned that. If one thing that we have learned through Seiya Suzuki's tenure in Chicago is that the right fielder is a designated hitter.
Is he okay with that? Is he good
he's
with that?
He's got to be okay with that.
What, is he going to want to get out of here? Because you're hoping. Would anyone trade for him?
I don't know. I think if the right deal comes around, maybe he waives a no-trade clause. Mm-hmm. I know people have said before when I've gone on the trade Suzuki thing or asked for him to waive his no-trade right clause, people say, well, do you realize how good of an offensive weapon he is? I know. I get it. He's pretty productive. He fills all the boxes, checks all the categories. But is he a star? Is he an all-star player? Dustin, is Seiya Suzuki an all-star?
No.
No.
Okay. I just want a star. And if not...
You want a team of all-stars.
Well,
they have a team of above-average players. They are seriously lacking that star. Now, maybe they're going to spend the money on a starting pitcher. So, there's some reports that they're like all in on a couple of different
starting pitchers.
Walker Buehler's one of them.
Buehler comes right? Wrigley Field.
And the price tag's pretty good. So maybe they think like with a better-than-average starting
pitcher. How is Wrigley playing? Does it change year to year, is the wind blowing in now?
I wonder who you could really talk to about that and who's breaking that down for somebody.
We need
that's
to do
a
that.
Wildly. They
I'm
are
serious.
Leaning
How
on that,
that
as a
impact
crutch.
A player?
That's all we heard about since the season ended.
Right.
We heard it from, and not only from management.
Yeah.
You know, Ian Happ was on this station talking about it.
Big
Tommy Hotovy was on this station talking about it. The great Ron Coomer talked about it. This is not just a management thing making excuses. So how in the world do you measure that? I mean, are they going to Tom Skilling? Like, he's sitting around, you know, retired now.
Retired. Leave the guy alone.
What do you mean, leave the guy alone?
Let him retire in peace.
Would you want to trade for a pitcher instead of signing one?
Well, why not? First, why? It's only money. Roki Sasaki, where's he going
to
end
up?
Yeah,
I'd like to trade for the left-hander of your favorite baseball team, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Sure, why not?
Garrett Crochet would be a great deal for the Cubs to explore. They match up. The Sox need positional talent. They need
the first
prospects
that you don't need anymore.
Who would you first blush? Who would you want?
Shaw. Okay. Michael Bush, and I'll take Suzuki. That sounds like a good
no,
deal.
You won't.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's too much. Get out.
And Pete Crow Armstrong.
Get out. You're not taking it seriously.
Am I not taking it seriously?
You're not going to get those players for Garrett Crochet. You're going to get three prospects.
Oh, only the three.
You're going to get three.
But would you be okay, David, if they seriously would like trade the top three prospects for Garrett Crochet?
No, probably not.
then one of those
two top prospects and a third.
Eight of them.
Then one of the three need to be playing at Wrigley next year on a daily
Shaw,
basis.
Shaw, Casey, or Alcantara,
right?
Or Triano,
right? Would you trade three of those four? For Garrett Crochet,
I'd trade two of those four.
Two of the four.
Two of those four and a minor league pitcher.
Wow,
a lesser pitcher.
Look at you.
I just wheeling and dealing. Sasaki, though, the 23-year-old Japanese pitcher, is coming to the majors. And
Roki, right?
Yeah.
Is it Roku or Roki?
It's Roki.
Roki.
It's Roki. Roku is what you have in your television.
Roki will be a rookie.
And he'll be on Roku. He's going to be Roki of the Year.
Roki of the Year. I like it.
He is. He's going to be the Roki of the Year. All right. Dustin is pointing at me, which means it's time. It's time now to be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to see Tyler Childers at the Alpine Music Theater next July, 312-540-0670.
And it's a Layla Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. We'll get to talk to Marshall Harris, and I forget. Is it just the two of them? There's someone else that might
Dan's
be
involved.
Oh. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Keep